The following podcast is brought to you by Team Rocket. Protect the world from devastation.
Hey everybody, welcome to Pokemon World Tour. I am your host, Jake.
And I'm your guy, Josh. And this is a podcast where we go around the world of Pokemon, one city, route, landmark, what have you, at a time.
Brick by brick.
Mortar by mortar.
Step by step. That's not how mortar works.
That's not. No.
Nope. They don't spread it, usually.
I mean, a little bit. You spread it.
I mean, lengthwise. Brick, right? Yeah. More of a vertical spread.
Yeah, so, we're taking you on the inside. We're not going brick by brick. No, we're going to look through the mortar of the
all the way
world.
deep down into, in this case, Mount Moon. And this is, I should mention, a smaller episode.
Yes, this episode is designed to be, heavy air quotes, quick.
Well, I've met us before, so right. I'm not making any promises.
We're not going over a whole city. We're just going over an important landmark.
And then the route that follows it. Now, this is we do every other week with the big ones. This one is on an off week. This is the first and last time we're going to do it. It has screwed up our entire schedules, and we have just started recording. In the future, we're going to add the segments that we take out back in, and you'll see which ones those
right.
are
these
as
will
we
be,
go.
These will be back into full episodes.
They'll just be a little smaller in the middle. Do you want to just go right to Mount Moon now?
Yes. Yes, I do. So last episode, we left off in the Pokemon Center outside of the entrance to the mountain.
Yep.
With a shady guy, trying to sell us a fish.
we healed up our Pokemans. Everything's cool now. Ready to go into the mountain.
I'm playing along. Okay. I got to this point, and Rattata and Mankey just aren't pulling their weight anymore. I boxed them. So I'm going into Mount Moon with a Wartortle and a Pidgey.
You don't even want them for the bodies? They're just not worth it?
No, they're just... Pidgey's so much more handy. Like, he's coming through in more pinches than the other two, so he leveled up more, so the other two are, like, way behind.
Right.
They're just not worth it anymore. Rattata levels up, like, really slow for such an early game Pokemon.
That's weird. I mean, it is, like, a real crappy little guy, you know? Like, he's not great. That's weird, though. You'd think to make up for that, they would be like, hey, he's eradicated all of a sudden.
Right.
Now he's better, because... You're going to get rid of him.
Like, you only have to get to level 20, I think, but his growth rate is slow compared to, like, what Pidgey's is.
That's weird.
Very weird.
I didn't know that was a thing.
Anyway, this isn't about Rattata.
No.
So we're out of the Pokemon Center, and we're going to walk right into the entrance of Mount Moon.
Okay, I looked at the Bulbapedia page for Mount Moon today.
Okay.
I retained zero information, so...
All right, well, we're going to go through it floor by floor.
Okay.
So we're on the first floor.
All right.
Okay. As soon as you walk in... To the left, behind a wall, Red can't see it. The character of Red can't see it, but you, the player, can see it because it's an overhead view.
You can divine it.
There's a TM over there. If you're playing Fire Red and Leaf Green, it's for Bullet Seed. If you're playing Red, Blue, or Yellow, it is for Water Gun.
Okay.
So it's the first TM that we just find laying around.
We might have to do an episode on TMs and HMs because they... make no sense.
The concept of them is very weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll have to do an episode.
Here's how Fire Red and Leaf Green explains how they work. It shows the sprite of your Pokemon.
Yep.
Slaps a CD on their forehead and then makes like a noise and then they learn the move.
And now you know a move. I got some theories, but I don't know.
I don't either.
So this is the first place you can find a TM, and
it's not the first TM we get because Brock gave us one.
Right, but it's the first time you find one.
Right,
and once again, if you pick Charmander, you're out of luck, no matter which version you're in.
Yep.
Poor guy.
There's a little bit more open space over on this left side, but it leads to nothing. It's a dead end.
Mm-hmm.
So you come back through. There's a sign in the middle, like straight ahead from the entrance. Here's what the sign says.
Okay.
Beware, Zubat is a bloodsucker.
Whoa, that's a little graphic.
It's pretty gross. It's weird.
Yeah. I guess they're saying like, hey, Zubats will swoop down and drink your blood.
I hope you guys like Zubats, because there's a lot of them. Yeah, and they will eat you.
You've been on the internet, guys? You remember how there's a meme about...
They've been on the internet. I don't know how the heck they're listening to this if they haven't been on the internet.
They had their grandkids burn this onto a CD. They took that to a Radio Shack, had that put on a tape, and they listened to it in the car. I'm sorry if you're old and you are listening to this. Thank you. Welcome to this podcast. the meme is like, the Zubat's everywhere. There's always Zubats in the cave. Every step you take, there's a Zubat. And like, this is the first place that's true. And you better get used to it.
Yeah, anytime there's a cave, from now until forever, shall there be Zubat. All right, and then standing right next to the sign is a lass that you can battle.
Okay.
And she did it. She did the one thing that anyone who goes to Mount Moon wants to do. The only Pokemon she has is a Clefairy.
Nice.
She's right in front of the entrance. She's standing next to the sign.
She got lucky.
The entrance, you can see, she's looking straight at it. And she tells you when you battle her, she's like, I'm just waiting here for my friends. Which I don't know if that implies that she's lost or that she's waiting for her friends to also
I think she found the entrance and her friends have not. And so she is waiting on them to find their way back, maybe? Because there's no cell phones?
That could be. That's true. So, there's not.
Also, you're in a mountain, so like cell service is spotty at best.
Right.
I think in later games, correct me if I'm wrong, but like, don't you not have service in mountains? Is that a thing that can happen?
I think that might be true.
I don't know if I'm making that up.
I don't know. I haven't tried to make a phone call in Heart Gold in so long that I don't remember what the mechanics are.
Yeah. So you fight her.
You fight her. She has just the one Clefairy. It's pretty high leveled compared to like where your team is. It's pretty even.
Yeah.
Unless you're like super grinding, which I am not.
I don't do that, no.
And then to the right of her is kind of just like the meat of the first floor. It's kind of a maze, but like not really at the same time.
Okay.
So if you go to your right, or to her left, your right.
Right.
There's a ladder. There's a ladder.
Okay.
And that'll go down to the second floor, which will go down to the basement. The second floor of Mount Moon, we don't need to spend any time there. Here's what it is. Four tiny rooms that are only tunnels that lead you to the bottom floor. In Fire Red and Leaf Green, there's only Paris in here, so it's a good place to catch a Paris.
If you're into one.
Which I did, because I've never used one. And I was like, he's part grass type. Maybe he'll come in handy against Misty later. So now my team is Wartortle, Pidgey, and Paris.
And Paris. I don't want to bury the lead, but I watched the anime episode that goes with this area, and Parises are featured.
Yeah, they're a weird Pokemon. We'll talk about them someday.
Yeah, they are a very weird Pokemon. So no matter where you are on the first floor, if you find a ladder, it brings you down to one of these four rooms.
Yep.
And then that goes to floor three.
It's either like a tiny rectangle or an L-shaped corridor. But that's it. There's no items. You can only encounter Paris.
Are there any trainers?
There's no trainers.
That's weird.
It's very odd.
Seems like a waste of time.
Because in Gen 1, it's not even just Paris. Like, all the regular Pokemon that are in the rest of Mount Moon are also in these hallways.
That's really weird.
It does kind of, like, lead into the digging for fossils, like they're holes that people have dug,
right? And maybe also
corridors that have been hollowed out.
Also, like from my memory is the word I was looking for of Mount Moon. Like you get lost pretty easily,
or you can on the first floor. The second floor it looks confusing from a wide angle, but when you're in it, it's just a straight shot to the end.
Maybe that's the point. Is it like? It's just to, like, keep the confusion going for a minute. Because
the first floor, the way it's set up, is the left-hand side when you first come in is, like, that little open area that's just a dead end. Yep. And then on the right, there's, like, a bunch of walls with gaps in between them that you can go through, but they all end up leading back up and around.
Okay.
But also, if you don't go down, if you get to this ladder and you don't go down, you can just go up. And there's a little opening that you can get through, and you can cut out that whole bottom right corner.
Okay.
But there's a lot of trainers, and there's some items down there.
Right, so you're going to want to...
You should go down there.
You're going to want to poke down there. Yeah. We'll talk about what the trainers are at the end, I think. Unless you want to do that, because are we coming back to the first floor?
I didn't write down what they are. There's seven trainers on the first floor.
There's a
hiker.
One's a hiker. I saw that.
At the end, because you need to get all the way around and up to the top left corner to advance toward the exit.
Right.
And there's a hiker up there. There's a bug catcher.
So could you just like leave Mount Moon and like keep going without doing any of the bottom floor stuff?
Yeah. If you just go around and get to that last ladder, you won't get to any of the rooms, I guess, like on the bottom floor.
Like the story, you miss all the story stuff by doing
not
that?
All of it, but you only fight one Team Rocket Grunt instead of three.
Oh.
They all basically say the same thing. We're here to get the fossils and make the money.
Right. We'll talk about Team Rocket a little bit later.
When we talk about Clefairy, I have a different theory for why they're in Mount Moon, but we'll get there.
Okay. So you go down to the second floor. You immediately go down to the third floor.
Back
from
up
there.
To the first floor real quick so I can say what you can catch in there.
Okay, yeah.
There are Sandshrew, Clefairy, Zubat, Paris, and Geodude. You're going to see a lot of Geodude and Zubat. I did not see any Sandshrews on my way through.
That's literally all I remember catching is Geodude and Zubats. That's all I can remember from
I did not see Clefairy either.
That stinks because I like Clefairy. I would like to catch one and train one in a later game.
Clefairy's pretty cool.
I found out, I was looking at Pokemon for a thing that we'll talk about later. I was just looking at some random ones. And I was mostly checking out stats and stuff for a reason that I'm going to keep a secret from you. And again, we'll
That's
talk
fine.
About
Yeah, we'll get in depth to what we're talking about
but,
at the end.
Lopunny, you know, the Playboy Bunny.
Yep.
Real high stats. Like, total of 580.
For regular or Mega?
It just said regular.
Hmm.
I'll
have to look into that. That might be Mega Lopunny.
That might be Mega. But, like, if it's not, then a Lopunny is as powerful as all of the trio's legendaries.
I like Mega Lopunny because it, like, kind of turns into a soccer mom. It's got, like, yoga pants. It's part fighting type. And I wish its hair got, like, cropped up real short or its ears, but they're not the same.
I'll double check. But, like, it was in the category of, like, Pokemon with this stats, and it only said Lopunny. It didn't say Mega, so...
Right.
I don't know if it would say different. Probably wouldn't.
I don't know.
Anyway.
I haven't really looked at the stats breakdown.
Right. I'm doing one weird thing, and I needed the stats to be kind of in a place. Anyway.
That's fine, I get
continue.
It.
Continue on. Enough about low punnies.
All right, so before we get down to the basement, like, in a hole, if you go down that first ladder, go into a tiny hallway, then go down a ladder into a room in the bottom floor.
Okay.
So the bottom floor is set up as there's two rooms that you can get to from the top but can't get out of to advance on the bottom floor. Like, they're walled off.
Okay.
And so the first one has a Team Rocket Grunt in it who's like, oh, we're here for the fossils. You're just a stupid kid, and I'm going to beat you up.
And you beat him up.
You beat him up. And he's like, oh, uh-oh.
I'll just stand here then.
And then there's a star piece in this room. I'm not sure what it is in red and blue.
What does a star piece?
Star piece, you just sell it for money. It might just be a nugget in red and blue.
Okay.
And they just changed it to a star piece to kind of fit the motif.
Right.
Of Mount
Moon. Keep it in order. That makes sense.
Thematic.
Yeah.
So you go back up because you can't go anywhere else. And then you go down there's a second ladder up toward the middle if you go up through that little opening that I was talking about.
Okay.
You go down there and you fight a Rocket Grunt.
There's only three total in the whole thing?
Yep.
Okay. So if you go through the maze... And these two, you're done with the Rocket Grunts.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's one more at the very end, and then there's a nerd, and then you're out.
Okay. This is a nerd.
I'm not kidding.
I know.
You go down the second one, fight the Rocket Grunt, who basically says, we're here to get the fossils. And then you get a Moonstone in there that's in an item ball. It's not hidden. It's just, there's a Moonstone.
Right.
Maybe that wasn't a... No, that was the other TM. The Moonstone is up near the hiker. This was another TM. This was TM... Didn't write the number down. But in red, blue, and yellow, this was the TM for Mega Punch, and in Fire Red and Leaf Green is the TM for Thief.
Okay. Again, I don't know if Charmander can use either of those. I think he probably can.
I think so. I don't know if any of them can use Thief.
I don't know, because I don't know what the rules are on the TMs, because they all are kind of weird.
I mean, they can learn them or they can't. There's no real...
Yeah.
Rhyme or reason that I've been able to figure out.
Right. Quick update on Lopunny. 580 is Mega Lopunny. So.
Okay.
Good. So this soccer mom bunny, is just as powerful as like a Kyogre and a Groudon and Rayquaza and all them.
Well, Kyogre and Groudon now have bigger, better forms anyway.
I did find that out.
Groudon turns into a giant pizza dinosaur.
I saw that. Those are definitely yoga pants and the ears are braided.
Are
so.
They?
That's a soccer mom. You're absolutely right.
No, I know. All right, so we get out of this room. We just got another TM, so now we're up to three. And in this generation, these are one-time use. It's not until Gen 5 that they figure it out.
How to,
like, you could just use them whenever.
Right. These are one-and-dones.
One-time use TMs are stressful.
Yes.
Especially going back and playing through Fire Red. Or no, I'm playing Leaf Green. Playing through Leaf Green right now.
Yeah.
It's like, it's so different. There's no physical special split. So, like, weird. Types are assigned to a stat instead of individual moves.
Wait, what?
Yeah, fire is a special type, no matter what the move is. So, like, in Gen 6, in Gen 5 and 6, if you use Fire Punch, that'll run off your regular attack. But right. back in Leaf Green, it's a fire move, so it runs off your special attack.
That's dumb. A lot of Pokemon can get screwed real easy by that.
Gyarados was real bad because none of his attacks that were matched his type matched his stats.
That sucks.
Because he's a physical attacker, but he's half water type.
Right.
Like, all the water moves were special back then.
That's weird, man.
So he got kind of screwed.
That's real weird. Did they change that in Gen 4?
Yes, it was Gen 4.
Okay. Because I was like, they couldn't have kept that for too much longer.
No. It's crazy to think.
That's how it used to be.
That's just how it was.
Pikachu used to be fat. Things were different back then.
I like fat Pikachu.
I do too.
All right, so we leave this room. We go up, battle the hiker. He's got like a couple Geodudes and an Onix, I think.
Probably.
Up in the very top left corner is the Moonstone that I thought was in that room, but it's not. It's okay. Up here. Then there's the ladder, so you go down. There's an L-shaped hallway. Go through that, and then you come out in floor B2, mm-hmm. which is a basement, too.
Sure. You don't go up, right? You only go down?
Yeah. Okay. You go up at the end of this. You go back up to get out on the other side.
But there's no floors farther up than one?
Nope.
That's weird for a mountain.
Because
you would think that a mountain would go upwards instead of down.
You enter on the ground floor and then go down into it.
That's weird.
Yep.
It's weird, man. Okay, so I forget where you were.
We just got to basement 2, and now we can walk around, stretch our legs out.
Okay.
We could follow the one path that goes to the right, and then down, and then all the way around and up. There's nothing here except a bunch of wild Pokemon battles. I fought, like, 6 Pokemon walking through this path. None of them were good. It was, like, all Geodudes and Zubats. And I think, oh, Paris showed up. And I was like, oh, it would be cool if you were Clefairy, but you're not.
Right, but you're
not.
I
already caught you on the second floor, where that's the only place that you live.
Why did you wander so far away from your home? Go back to where you came.
So you get to the end, and there's a Rocket Grunt. He's like, we're here for the fossils and the money.
It's sensing a theme. It's sensing that maybe they might be here for the fossils and the money.
I think this is a misdirect.
Or the grunts don't know why they're really here.
I think the fossils are a misdirect. I have a theory about
that.
So you beat him up because he's got like a Sandshrew and a Zubat or whatever.
Right.
I have a Wartortle. So
right.
So I just water gun him to death.
Yeah.
Minimal
wet types. Soggy types.
You go through the little opening. It's north of him. And there's a super nerd. That is the actual trainer class of this trainer.
That's
funny. You walk up to him, he's like, oh, you can't have any of these fossils. These are mine. I found them.
So is this sprite him like on the ground on his knees, kneeling over Pokeballs, looking back at you like, how dare you?
That's one of them. It's from what generation? I can't remember. I don't think that's what it is in Leaf Green. I just played it today. I think he's standing up.
Okay, because that's the only super nerd one I remember.
Yeah.
It's like kind of shaking his
fist. But
it's
the same design. He's got like that like long, not like shoulder length.
Right.
Hair and like the thick glasses and button up shirt. And he's still kind of like looking back at you.
You know, like a nerd.
Like a nerd.
Like a nerd. Back to our Pokemon podcast.
He's got some Pokemon you've never seen before though.
Yeah.
He leads off with a Grimer.
Okay.
Then he switches up to a Magnemite, which I was not prepared for with my Wartortle and my Pidgey.
Well, I mean,
and my Paris, who was like not really caught up yet.
Right, but at least you had a Wartortle, right? Like,
right.
You know,
was able to kill it with Water Gun.
Right, get that type advantage. Get that stab.
It's more about the level advantage, I think, at this point. But then he ends it off with a Koffing. So these are all 3 Pokemon that are not...
These are Team Rocket Pokemon.
These are Team Rocket Pokemon. I think he might be in Team Rocket.
Huh.
He's the only one that successfully found any fossils in this mountain where everybody comes digging for fossils.
I did not put that together until right now, when you're like, these are his Pokemon. I fought him a couple times. Like,
those Pokemon, I think, at least the Magnemite, are definitely...
Only nerds have Magnemite.
Only nerds have Magnemite.
Oh, you said Magnemite? In my head, I said Magmar, which is why I was like, oh, you have a water Pokemon.
But Magnemite is electric and steel now.
Okay, but is electric weak to water?
Water is weak to electric.
Okay. See, that's why I was like, at least you have Wartortle, because I thought it was a Magmar.
Nope,
it's
not a Magmar. No, you don't see a Magmar for a while. So you beat him up, or he's like, yeah, you can pick one. And then he yells at you. He's like, don't be greedy. You only get to pick one.
Yeah, he's, again, it's misdirect.
Because we stomped him. So he's like, all right.
So he's mad.
So I picked the helix fossil. You can also pick a dome fossil.
To learn more about what comes out of the dome fossil, see our previous episode.
And the helix fossil will give you omanite, which we didn't talk about.
No. We should have done a dually, but we did a poll, so.
So then you go up, you pick your fossil, which opens up the path, because right now they're blocking the way. You have to pick a fossil to advance. You can't go around them. They're in the middle of the path.
Okay.
So you pick your fossil, go up and around.
That's a clever design choice.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff like that. Where it's like, this is a barricade. You can't go past here until you do a thing. So you go up and around. There's a ladder that leads up to one of the other tiny little rectangle hallways. And then there's a ladder that leads up from that. And if you go up that second ladder, you just go outside. Like, there's no other room with the exit door. That ladder just leads outside.
That's weird. They put all that effort into making the second floor of uselessness, but they couldn't figure out an escape plan?
I guess. I don't know.
That's weird. Is that it for Mount Moon?
Mount Moon changes drastically in Generation 2 and Generation 4.
Okay, what about in Yellow? I hear there's a...
That's the same.
But isn't there, like, Team Rocket from the...
Instead of Rocket Grunts, you fight Jesse and James.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that every time?
There is a battle with them everywhere where Team Rocket is. So, like, here...
Later on.
Yeah.
We're not gonna...
A couple other towns later.
Yeah. Okay. Because I thought it was, like, there was a final boss, you know, like a slightly higher up Team Rocket, and then you...
Instead of that last Rocket Grunt, I think.
Okay, so there's only one per, though. It's not, like, every right. Grunt. Okay. That's pretty neat, though, that they're like, hey, because Yellow again.
Right, and they use Ekans and Koffing.
Right.
Like, from the anime.
It's pretty cool.
I don't know if they battle with Meowth. I think Meowth is part of their sprite, their battle sprite.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
That could also be totally wrong.
If you watch the YouTube video, you'll see their battle sprite when we start talking about that. I'm putting that on you, because you do that, don't you?
Start talking about what?
When we just talked about Team Rocket.
Oh,
Their battle sprite will pop up.
Yeah, you meant our YouTube video. I'm like, what YouTube video?
No,
are you talking about
the YouTube video that you make, Josh.
Well, now I get it.
Which you definitely should check out. If you want to listen to these episodes again, do it on YouTube that second time.
Yeah, there's a lot of nice visuals.
Yeah, a lot of visuals. Josh puts a lot of work into them. They come out real
good. That's why they take a week to go up.
It makes sense.
All right, so back to Gold, Silver, Crystal, Heart Gold, and Soul Silver. They're all kind of the same as far as Mount Moon goes. It's just the one main floor. It's a backwards J shape.
Okay.
Right, and then there's two other tiny rooms that they're all part of the same map.
Okay.
Just to, like, save space.
Right.
And it's just a quick tunnel between Cerulean and... Where
Pewter?
We just came from. Pewter. The two small rooms, you go up, and then you can come out into the Mount Moon Square. So you go up. Mount Moon Square is the quote-unquote peak of Mount Moon.
Sure. One floor up?
It's two. I think you go through both little rooms on the way.
Okay.
Up, I think. I don't know what else that other little room would be for.
I don't know.
So Mount Moon Square is just, it's a small field. There's a shop and a crater.
There's a shop. Somebody... set up a gift shop.
It is exactly a gift shop. It sells all the drinks, your water, your lemonade, your soda pop. It sells a mail, one of the mails, a polka doll, and repels.
They know.
There's nothing special here. There's not even like a moonstone in the shop. If you show up here on a Monday night between 8 p.m. and 4 a.m.
Also known as Moon Day.
On Moon Day.
Moon Day night.
There's like a little cutscene with some Clefairies dancing in the crater. There's a pond in the middle of the crater.
Okay.
And there's some Clefairies dancing around it, and then they dance for a second, and they notice you, and they scamper off, and they leave behind a moonstone.
Every Monday?
Every Monday.
That's pretty cool.
So moonstones are a renewable resource, which they are not in Generation 1.
No, that's cool, though, because, like, you only need a moonstone for so many things, and after that, it's just cash. It's just cash in your pocket.
And then that's it. I see why in Gold, Silver, and Crystal it was so reduced, because there's no reason to put a whole cave in there, and
right.
They needed to cut it for space. But in Heart, Gold, and Soul Silver, it would have been nice for the whole cave to be back.
Yeah, especially because like the limitations aren't there anymore.
Right, and
like,
they could just put a ladder up at the entrance to get to the square.
Right, or like at the exit.
Yeah.
Just like had one that went up instead of...
Well, you actually get to Mount Moon this time. From Cerulean.
The other way?
Yeah.
So then at the entrance, yeah. That's pretty neat. I like how they do that. You kind of go backwards for a lot of it.
Kind of. You arrive in Vermilion, so you come in the middle.
Yeah.
And then just loop around in like a spiral, I guess.
Yeah.
It's weird.
It's pretty neat. So that's it for Mount Moon. Unless there's anything else.
Nope. No?
So you wanna hit up Route 4 real quick? I hear it's a very exciting route.
Here's what happens in Route 4. You walk out of Mount Moon. Okay.
Okay.
And then immediately, if you're playing Fire Red and Leaf Green, there's two karate guys. They're move tutors. One will teach you Mega Punch. The other one will teach you Mega Kick.
One is a human Hitmonlee. The other one's a human Hitmonchan.
Pretty much, yeah. And they can only teach these moves once.
That's weird.
Which is a weird choice. I don't know why they want to limit everybody back in the early days.
They're trying to make it harder. And it worked.
In the first generation, there is not the move tutors. There is just a TM on the ground for Whirlwind. And I guess where the move tutors are is just empty, because there's also a TM in the third generation, which is for Roar, which is basically the same move, just Whirlwind right. is flying type and Roar is normal type.
Roar also scares Pokemon off, right?
Yeah. Roar scares them away, and Whirlwind blows them away.
That'd be a nice thing to have going into Mount Moon, maybe.
Well, you get it after you come out.
Cheaty little devils.
And then all the way up, because this is a very rocky route.
Right.
There's a lot of ledges. The path isn't entirely clear. You can jump down the ledges, but getting back is a pain in the butt.
Uh-huh.
And at the very top of the highest hill, I guess is what the ledges kind of represent.
Right.
There's just a lass standing up there that you cannot access until you get Surf.
Okay.
Oh, she's just waiting up there. Her Pokemon are all level 31. She has two Parasys and a Parasect. So you're not meant to go there until later anyway.
Right. Or else you will get your butt.
Yeah,
kicked.
This little girl who's just hanging out on top of a hill by herself will kick your butt. And then that's literally it. At the end of the route is two ledges. There's a patch of grass down one of the ledges. But if you jump down the ledge, you can only go to Cerulean City. You can't go back. There's no openings.
That's weird.
From the end of this route. So remember in the beginning when leaving was hard and then going back was easy?
Yeah.
They kind of inverted after Mount Moon.
Yeah, now it's
now you're stuck. Now you're on this journey.
Yeah, and you can't go back.
You can't go back until you can fly.
Yeah, you can't quit. Can't quit anymore. That's cool. I like that. I like these weird little kind of gameplay story addition, you know? Like, they don't imply any... They don't like, say anything, but they imply a lot.
Yeah.
Just these little, like, tiny bits of gameplay that they, like...
Yeah,
use
like,
real effectively.
I feel like a lot of the stuff gets kind of lost in the newer ones.
Yeah.
Where they just kind of beat you over the head with this, like, super serious story.
Yeah, that's what I don't... Like, I didn't... I'm going to be honest with you. I know what happened in the X and Y story, but I don't know if I understand the whole thing. Because it just, like, keeps happening. And there's, like, cutscenes to way not near you. Like, that giant dude. And there's, like, past stuff that
I
you would have...
I don't know... What AZ's deal is.
What his purpose is? He's a Yeti. He's a Yeti man.
He's
the Yeti!
He's 3,000 years old!
He's a 3,000-year-old Yeti!
That game is crazy if you think about it.
Yeah, we're not even going to talk about the girl who is a ghost.
Conversely, though, those games will be a lot more fun to talk about because there's more story elements that are like presented directly to
right.
you that we can kind of dissect.
Yeah.
Whereas this one's like... I don't know. Here's a couple pieces. You figure out the rest.
We don't have time for that. This is all we're giving you. We gotta go. All
right. So the Pokemon available on Route 4. Are you ready? This is a crazy one. I actually have it broken down by generation this time.
Okay.
Okay. So Generation 1. This is just in that patch of grass.
Uh-huh.
There's Rattata, Spearow, Ekans, Sandshrew, and Mankey.
It's a crowded piece of grass.
And then Generation 2, that's for 1 and 3. And then 2 and 4 add Jigglypuff, Arbok, Raticate, Zubat, and Clefairy night. Clefairy will come out at night because there's a clock now.
Right.
If you fish, this is where things start to get a little weird.
Okay,
in Generation 1, you can catch Magikarp, Goldeen, Poliwag, Psyduck, Krabby, or Seaking. In Generation 3... You can catch Horsea, Gyarados, and Slowpoke, because there's that little bit of water that you can surf on to get to the top of that hill that I mentioned.
Right.
In Generation 2 and 4, there is no data for fishing.
You just get nothing from fish?
I guess. Here's where it gets weirder. From surfing, in Generation 2, you can catch Goldeen and Seaking in 2 and 4. In Generation 3, you can catch Tentacool. There's no surfing Pokemon in Generation 1.
What's going on with that little... piece of water.
I don't know. It's right outside of Cerulean Cave, which we're going to do its own episode at the very end. We're not going to talk about Cerulean Cave in the next episode.
Yeah, at all.
It'll have one of these episodes once we figure out how these ones are going to go.
I like how it's going so far.
Yeah, pretty good.
That's weird. That's that one.
Yeah, I want to go back to Blue now and just like surf there and see if anything comes up, and maybe it was just an oversight,
or like fish there and see if you don't. Hopefully, you don't pull out like a missing no or anything.
Oof, no.
What if that little pool of grass? That's where the lift in the duct tape starts. Or pool of water. It's a pool of grass.
Right, there's a little hole at the bottom that has literal duct tape on it.
And if you pull it up, whoosh, everything goes down the drain.
Throw your fishing rod in. Just an old rod. You're like, I'm going to get a Magikarp. And the game's like, no, you're not. Oh, no. My Hall of Fame is just a bunch of blocks now.
What have I done?
And I have infinite of the sixth item in my bag.
Oh, crap. I just caught a skeleton.
Why is it just potions? Should I put my Master Ball there?
Oh, I had like...
I did. I did it with Master Ball and Rare Candies.
I never did. I never got the missing no glitch proper. I always got the M glitch.
Right. It works the same way. I did get and catch missing no.
The M, that's a bad idea. The M only gives you 99, not infinity.
That's plenty of Master Balls.
Plenty of Master Balls. Bad luck for me. I had a bunch of like TMs there. So I guess,
that's good because they're one-time use.
Yeah, but it's Whirlwind or whatever, right. You know? Like, it's nothing great at that point.
That's the other thing about TMs is so many of them are just dumb moves.
Yeah.
Like, why is there a Bullet Seed TM? Who cares about Bullet Seed?
Right? Who's not learning Bullet Seed that you're like, oh, man, Bullet I gotta Seed. Teach this guy Bullet Seed?
I don't know. Anyway, you can headbutt here. You want to have any guesses?
Hoot Hoot.
Yep.
Pineco.
Yep.
Ariados.
Wurmple.
That's going to go.
You know, your three musketeers from the headbutt trees.
Your tree musketeers.
There it is. That's the one. That's what we're going to call them from now on. If it's just those three, I'm just going to say it's the tree musketeers. If you play the Hoenn sound, you get Linoon and Whismur. If you play the Sinnoh sound, you get Bidoof and Buizel. There's no surprises. There's no swarms.
No special trees or anything.
Nope.
No tricky trees.
No tricky trees.
All right, and then you jump down that little...
Jump down the ledge and just... Now you live in Cerulean City.
Which we'll talk about next time. Hey, Josh, I want to introduce a new segment right now.
Okay.
This new segment is called, What Happened in the Anime?
Hey, Jake, what happened in the anime?
I'll tell you what happened in the anime. First of all, before the episode even starts, the previously on lies to your face. Previously on guy looks you in the face and lies to you.
He's a disembodied voice.
I'm sure he's looking at you in the face.
But he can see you.
And he's a liar. I do not trust this man. I do not trust him at all. Because he says, last time, Ash went to the Peter City Gym and he got his first badge. No, sir. That's not how it happened.
None of that sentence is a lie. Ash did go to Peter City Gym. And Ash did get his first badge.
That's the letter of the law, but not the spirit of it. And also, I think there might be a sentence in between. There's a whole bit in between about him fighting Brock.
Right. It's not like Ash went to the Peter City Gym. He got stomped by Brock, but Brock gave him a pity badge anyway.
Brock felt bad for him. Gave him a badge. No, it's like he went to Peter City Gym, and he fought Brock. And then it's just like from the end with Pikachu zapping Onix.
Right.
And he's like, and then he got his badge. And it's like, no.
That is deceptive editing.
Yeah, that is balderdash and chicanery, and I will not stand for it. That's the previously on. So I don't trust this disembodied head guy. So we got our trio, because Brock has now joined the team. They're going through Mount Moon, because that's the only way to get to Cerulean, I guess. They should figure that out, but what are you going to do?
Well, they did. They drilled a hole through Mount Moon.
I feel like that cave was just like, there, and they're like, hey, if we go far enough, we get out to the other side, instead of like being productive and like building a little road next to it or something.
Well, that's what I think the second floor is the man-made tunnel through Mount Moon to get to the other side. Because if you go in on the Cerulean side, if there's no middle floor, you can't get up to get to Pewter. And if you go in on the Pewter side, you can't get down to get to Cerulean. So maybe they drilled these little hallways.
Right.
Between floors to...
Okay, maybe. Yeah, that makes sense.
To join the path.
That makes sense. Still, they could have just, like, built a road on the side of it.
Yeah. But, you know, like, over whatever. It.
They're talking about a legend about how there was a meteor, and it crashed thousands of years ago on Mount Moon, and that is the Moonstone. That meteor is...
The one and only Moonstone.
The Moonstone.
Okay. There is, I don't know if we talked about this in the Pewter City episode, in the museum, there is a giant stone that the description of it is like a meteorite from Mount Moon thought to be a moonstone.
We did not talk about that.
I just wanted to mention that because I don't think we did.
Yeah.
So there's a recurring theme in Mount Moon is not just like a clever name. It's a hot spot
for weird
cosmic
stuff.
Activity.
So they get to the entrance, and there's a bunch of Zubats attacking this nerd.
Does the nerd have fossils?
No, he does not.
Oh.
There are no fossils in this episode.
This is lame.
Yep. So they, Pikachu Thunderstruck's the bats. They fly, back in.
Thunderstruck the nerd.
I was hoping.
Oh, after Brock and Ash and Missy just laugh at him.
After five more seconds, I really wish he would have just shocked the nerd, and they would have gone about their business, because this nerd is the worst. He speaks mostly in poems for no reason, just rhyming couplets, you know, cuz.
I'm excited to watch this episode.
So then he points out, like, he's like, somebody lit up the cave. Somebody put lights throughout the cave, and that's screwing all of the Pokemon up because they live in darkness for a reason.
Mount Moon's a pretty well-lit cave.
But it's not like light bulbs on the ceiling lit. Look, it's the anime and the game are two very separate entities. But that's the reasoning in
this.
Sounds
like they're trying to make it seem like it should be Rock Tunnel.
Right.
But instead, somebody hung some lights in it.
I don't think they'll ever go to Rock Tunnel in the anime.
They might.
There's a lot of episodes of the anime.
There sure are.
So they go in, and he's like, yeah, like everything's lit up. The Parises are plucking off their mushrooms and planting them on the ground. The sand shrews.
Mass hysteria.
The sand shrews are drying out. Zubats are flying outside in the daytime. Cats and dogs living together. Mass hysteria.
I love that, like, sand shrew drying out is a serious problem.
Yeah.
Zubats flying out in the daytime is, like, definitely counterproductive to Zubats.
Yeah.
Paris planting their mushrooms just does not seem to be on the same level.
But they're ripping off part of their body.
The mushrooms are a separate thing. They're like a parasite. It's not part of the Paris.
Okay. But they're just ripping them up, and they're just planting them in the ground. They look confused. Like, here?
Oh, no.
Is this good? Did I do good?
Yeah, it's a symbiotic relationship between Paris and the mushrooms.
Okay.
Until it evolves, and the mushroom just takes over, and the bug is actually just an empty husk, and the mushroom is the actual Pokemon.
Oh, that's like... That's the scariest thing I've heard today. Josh, thanks.
Yep.
Congratulations. So, the nerd tells them a little bit more about the Moonstone.
Did you write down any of his sweet rhymes?
Oh, no. No, mostly I was just bewildered when they were happening. Because, like, you don't realize it until the second couplet. Because he does, like, three or four couplets in a row. And you don't really realize it. And then you're like, hey, these are all rhymes.
When you say is it, like, more of a nursery rhyme? Or is it, like, a pumpkin wrapper rhyme?
It's like a pumpkin wrapper rhyme. But without a beat.
Without a beat behind it.
It's like spoken word pumpkin rapping. You can go check out our other podcast, The Morphin Grid. Check out the episode Clever Raps and Rhymes to learn more about pumpkin rappers. So the nerd says that his theory.
No, this is nerd. They don't just call him nerd.
His name is Seymour.
Okay.
Seymour the scientist. He says that three or four times
Seymour
in a row.
Seymour the scientist, not just a guyentist.
Close. At one point, he's like, I'm Seymour. Seymour the scientist. And it's just like three shots out of context of him being like, science, research, Seymour the scientist. It's like, bro. Chill out.
Man, nerds just can't be cool.
Nerds just be cool, nerd.
Okay. Moving on from this.
So Seymour's theory is that the Moonstone came to Earth 3,000 years ago, or however many thousands of years ago, and it brought all the Pokemon with it.
Oh, man, did the Moonstone bring AZ to Earth? And that's why he's so old, because he's an alien giant?
I don't know, because, like, the games
AZ,
are so...
AZ doesn't exist yet.
Yeah, games are so divorced from it, and I don't think in the game... Like a huge moonstone crashed into
Well, it did. It's in the Pewter City Museum.
That's not huge. It's like a little... AZ would not fit in that thing anyway.
We could have rode it in and then, like...
Slim Pickens style. So he thinks that the moonstone, which is, like, huge. It's a huge moonstone. He thought that brought all the Pokemon. And the Pokemon are aliens. Because this nerd just can't be cool. He can't just...
All of them?
That's what he makes it seem like. So then a Clefairy hops by. Hallelujah. Get us stop talking about this nerd. And he's got a moonstone. He's holding a moonstone.
Sure.
Not evolving.
He's not using it, though. He just has it.
I guess. But here's the thing.
I don't know, because if you evolve something with a stone, that stone is gone. So I don't know if, like, they eat it or how that works.
If it, like, crumbles or, to like, dust.
Yeah, you use it on them by rubbing it on their face or whatever.
Cracking it like an egg on them.
Evie, come here, I got a fire stone. And then it just, like, sucks the energy out of it, and it's just a rock after that.
I guess. I don't know.
And so you throw it away. You don't need a rock.
No. What are you going to do with that? Nothing. Leave it on the ground. Leave it as a reminder. This is where Evie evolved. So he runs by. It's 50-50, I think. Or used to be. I don't know what the actual gender difference is.
I think they're 50-50.
Yeah, so Clefairy hops by. And then Team Rocket shows up. Because someone says, like, oh, this could be trouble. And then Jesse's like, yeah, prepare for trouble. And then they do their whole thing. And then Ash goes, hey, why do you guys do that every time? And then they kind of ignore him. And they go, once we get the Moonstones, our Pokemon will be super powerful. So they think that the Moonstones just make your Pokemon more powerful, regardless.
I mean, yeah, in these earlier episodes, they're more threatening than they end up being later.
Yeah, they're just straight up goofballs later.
They're still dumb.
Yeah, they're still, like, their charge is following a kid, like, not doing any cool plans.
In the Viridian City episode is when Ash first sees them, and we weren't doing the anime back then.
No.
Back two episodes ago.
I might go back and watch them, but
we might do some companion pieces of those previous episodes later.
Okay.
But they burst into the Pokemon Center where Ash is healing his Pikachu because they just got attacked by his Spearows.
Uh-huh.
And they're like, they say their whole spiel, and they ask Ash, like, if he understands or something, and he's like, how am I supposed to get what you're talking about? You don't make any sense. You guys are a bunch of idiots.
Yeah, he's just, like, super nonplussed by them.
Yeah.
He just doesn't care. They like, attack. They send out Koffing and Ekans. Ash sends out Pidgeotto, because he's a Pidgeotto. Brock sends out a Zubat, and Ash's like, where'd you get that Zubat? And he's like, oh, I caught it outside. They did not show this.
No, nope.
He caught it off screen.
Surprise Zubat.
And Ash goes, I should have done that. Oh, Ash, you're a terrible trainer.
You're
so
awful.
I mean,
you are so awful. In the Viridian Forest episode, when he's catching Pidgeotto, do you know what he first sends out to fight it? His freshly caught Caterpie. And Misty's like, you're an idiot. He's like, what, did I do something wrong? And she's like, you're so dumb.
You're so dumb. I think Misty should just, like, eat that money and give up. Yeah. And just give up on Ash. So then they beat Team Rocket. But Meowth gets away and follows Clefairy out. Seymour and Misty follow them out. They end up, like, catching the Clefairy. Meowth goes to attack him, but she just, like, beats the crap out of him with Staryu. Staryu does some neat stuff. It does Swift Attack right off the bat. And then to do Water Gun, it plants itself in the water. And then...
Yeah, I really like this about the anime.
Yeah, the anime will show how moves work, and I really like that. I think that's the one thing that could really benefit the games.
You mean you don't understand how my whale lord can dive in a cave? You don't
know. I don't understand that.
Or how my Diglett can exist on top of the water?
Yeah, pretty much. That I don't know.
No, that
doesn't make sense. So then we just cut up to them, go, like, they follow Clefairy all the way up to the top to the Moonstone. They have little chunks of Moonstone, but it's not like the Moonstone. So this Clefairy, like, bounces up as soon as, like, just hop thing lands on the top. Puts the Moonstone in the big Moonstone is in the middle, and around the base of it are a bunch of little Moonstones. There's one space missing, and so it puts it there, and it starts glowing. That's all that happens. It just glows. And then a bunch of Clefairies show up, and they're all like, oh, you're all Clefairies. What's going on here? And then, so Pikachu's been talking to this Clefairy the whole time, right?
Sure.
Because it's a Pokemon. Then Pikachu tries telling the humans what is happening, and they do a game of charades.
Sure.
For several minutes.
In the Viridian Forest episode, I think this is a theme of Pikachu talking to Pokemon. There's a good 3-minute scene of Caterpie explaining to Pikachu how he's excited to evolve, and it's just them, like, miming and making noises at each other.
Okay.
For, like, 3 minutes while Ash and Misty are asleep on the ground.
That's the third episode, right?
Yeah.
So that means he catches Caterpie in the third episode, and it evolves by now. But it was not in the Pewter City episode.
He catches Caterpie in the third episode. He also catches Pidgeotto in that episode.
So does the Caterpie evolve by the end of the episode?
They battle Team Rocket at the end of the episode, and at the end of that battle, Caterpie evolves into Metapod.
And then it has to evolve the next episode. Because it's a Caterpie, it's a Butterfree by episode 5.
Yeah.
That's dumb.
Yeah, no, they... Well, I mean, you're a Butterfree by level 10, so, like, that kind of tracks.
Is it that early?
Yeah.
That's Beedrill's the same way, right?
Yep. Metapod and Cocoon are level 7, and then Butterfree and Beedrill are level 10.
So Beedrill sucks so much.
Butterfree's not great either. Mm-hmm. At least Beedrill got a mega form, though. Butterfree's just like, oh, I still suck.
Well, I'm going to go fly away now. So anyway, this charades involves a Macarena reference. Do you guys remember the Macarena? If you're young enough, you probably don't. Because no one's heard about it since 1998. It's just weird how dated the show is. Like, there's a pop culture reference.
Pikachu's been chatting up this Clefairy, like, hey, Clefairy. What are they talking about?
Well, I think Pikachu's also a girl.
Pikachu's a dude, man.
Is it?
Oh, yeah.
Is it?
That's a dude.
Is it?
Yeah, female Pikachus have heart tails. Now. But
now.
But, I mean, it has to be a dude because now dude Pikachus have regular tails.
Right.
And it's still in the anime with a regular tail.
Okay.
So it has to, retrospect.
I mean, not that it couldn't hit on another lady, you know.
No.
But
I'm pretty sure it's a male Pikachu, though. I don't think they ever actually say.
No. Super not important. And they didn't have genders back then, so,
nope.
Like.
Not unless you were a Nidoran.
Yeah. So weird. So, I don't know. They're talking about how the Moonstone. I don't even really remember. The charades totally blocked out what the point of the charades was. Like, it's got to do with, like, they put all the moonstones together and they do a chant and, like, something will happen, but they get interrupted by Team Rocket first. They show up again. The nerd rushes Team Rocket, goes to Colcock James. Meowth trips him on the way over, and he just lands on the ground, drops his glasses, and, like.
And if a nerd drops their glasses, they are rendered completely useless.
Goes total Velma. Like, where are my glasses? So then they fight 2-on-2. It's Pikachu and Onix versus Ekans and Koffing again. And
that's all they have at this point.
That's all they have. Koffing has a smokescreen. He tells Pikachu to, like, hang back, and he sends out Pidgeotto to clear the smokescreen. When he does, the Moonstone is gone. There's a big hole in the ground.
The whole Moonstone?
The whole Moonstone. Gone. And all the little ones. Which is weird, because they stay with the Moonstone. But you'll see why it's weird in a second. Brock sends Onix to, like, follow them, so it dives into the ground, starts burrowing through the ground. They run out to try to head him off at the pass. Then we cut to Team Rocket going down the mountain with the big old Moonstone on a sled. And I guess all the little ones are near it, because, like, a thing will happen in a couple minutes that does.
Do the little ones like gravitate to it?
I don't know. I don't think they're in the animation, but they're definitely with it when they get to the bottom.
Okay.
Onix bursts through, knocks him over.
There must be some goofy music playing while they're riding on the mountain, right?
No.
No?
No. Just regular, like, sledding away music, I guess. Like, you know, some, like, action music, but nothing, like, super, like the Bulk of Skull theme's not playing.
Right.
You know? So then they all converge on Team Rocket, and they're, like, about to fight. But then Seymour shows up with the Clefairy. The Clefairy hands Seymour back his glasses, by the way. They show up. And then the Clefairy, all the Clefairy, Clefairy plural, start going like, boom, boom, like Clefairy, like, oh, in time.
Yep.
And then Meowth, in time with that, goes, it's the metronome. They're doing a metronome. Like, they're all hypnotized, sort of. And he keeps saying metronome. Like, it's
because this is the metronome attack.
This is a metronome attack, but they keep saying it like it's going to be a huge thing for the rest of the series. Like, they make this sound like this is the most important thing that's ever happened in the history of Pokemon right now. What happens is the Moonstones, the little ones, and the big ones sort of all explode.
Okay.
They glow and explode. Obviously, Team Rocket blasts off. Obviously. That's just how that works. The shards of the Moonstones float down and touch every Clefairy on the nose, and then they all evolve into Clefables.
Do all of them? I remember only some of them evolving.
As far as I can remember, all of them evolved into Clefables.
They might.
Unless, like, I just wasn't paying close enough attention, which might be the case.
Seymour gets to keep the one that gave him his glasses, right?
No. He doesn't keep them.
Oh, okay.
Dude goes native. Dude's like, I'm staying here. I live with these Clefairies now, these Clefables now.
I'm going to study them. I'm going to become one of them, that gorilla lady.
I'm going to, yeah, exactly. He is the Jane Goodall of Clefables, except his plan is to ride the Moonstone back to space when these Clefables leave this planet.
This is crazy.
This is insane. Also, the Pokedex, Dexter, which is stupid. It's cute, but it's stupid. He's like, this is a Clefable. It's one of the rarest Pokemon there is.
Dexter, in at least the first couple of episodes, is a super sassy pants.
Not
Dexter straight up calls Ash an idiot.
Really?
Yeah.
That's when he's like, I'm going to go native. I'm going to go back to the space. And then Brock's like, send us a postcard.
We're going to leave.
He's going to die.
Because like the next scene, like the moonstones explode, including what I thought was the moonstone, the big one. But then like the next scene when he's like, I'm staying here. The moonstone's back at the top of the mountain. I don't know how. Unless magic. When it exploded, it went whoop, and then lands back on the top. Which is not outside the realm of possibility in this show.
No.
So then they come to a fork in the road. There's a sign that says Cerulean City this way. There's a shot of Misty going like, because like she's from Cerulean City.
That's where
like
she from?
Some serious business going down over there. So then they say like, oh, sometimes kids write notes on these signs. Is that in the game? At all?
Like, once.
It felt like that was in the game. The way they made it sound was like, here's the thing we're including to, like, shut the nerds up. And then look at the thing, and it just says, Gary was here, Ash is a loser.
The theme of Ash being a loser is recurring.
Well, you know
not
why?
Just from Gary. Misty also is pretty fond of calling him a loser.
You know why? Dude's a loser.
Dude's a loser.
So then he gets super mad that he runs down Route 4 to get to Cerulean City. Before, so he can catch up to Gary or whatever, I guess. That's where it ends. Also, before we close out the segment, number one, two quick notes. Number one, Misty has awesome shoes that I want. They're red, but they have, like, kind of lightning bolts going down them, but not lightning bolts. They're, like, streaks, but they kind of zigzag.
Yeah.
Looks real cool. And number two, the Pokérap is probably the worst thing I've ever heard.
I love the Pokérap.
It's not a rap.
It's not a rap.
It's not
a rap. I agree with that. But the guy or guys.
There's two guys.
They are so into it.
They are.
I love that.
Gotta catch him all, Poké. That guy's fine. Rapping guy needs to go away. He needs to take a nap. He's reassess his priorities. Because he's not rapping. He is saying them fast.
Sometimes they rhyme, though.
So once. Once in this episode they rhymed that I noticed. Do you know what they were?
Mm.
Jigglypuff and Wigglytuff.
There's more that rhyme than that.
I do not recall them.
Well, I am going to transcribe the Pokérap for the episode post of this episode, and we will see how many of them rhyme.
Oh, boy. It's just, like, so bad. But that's the anime. That's what happens in the anime. That went a little longer than I thought. Hopefully it doesn't keep happening. It's just so weird that, like,
I just get bonus little Morphin Grid style anime episodes in the middle of your Pokemon World Tour.
Yeah.
I kind of like it. It's a neat touch.
So here we go. Let's
rate a couple names.
Yeah, let's do it. All right, Josh, we got some names from Twitter.
We do.
These are pretty.
I forgot about them last time, so we're doing them now.
It's all right. We're doing them now. We got a lot from our buddy Sky, our friend of the show, Sky. We're only doing one of his.
Yeah, we have three total because it's a shorter. Yeah. We're trying to keep this a shorter episode.
Yeah. So I mean, trying. Technically, we're doing better.
All right. So the first one is from.
Oh, hold on! Before you do, here are the rules. If you want to send in a Pokemon name, I feel like I have to do this every time. If you want to send in a Pokemon name, we just need a name and a species, and we rate them on a scale of 1 to 5, Pokeball, Premier Ball, Great Ball, Ultra Ball, Master Ball, respectively, 1 to 5. So,
right. You get one Master Ball.
One Master Ball.
Per name raider round.
Yes.
Or episode. Per episode.
Per person per episode. We don't have to agree on a Master Ball, but yes. So hit me with that first one.
The first one is from _ Mother Nerd Bird.
A.K.A. Porsche.
Yes. That's her actual name. I couldn't remember. Like, it's not Rose.
No.
She changed her Twitter name, and I'm like, crap.
Right now, I believe it's Angry Slice of Pie.
That sounds right. It's for a Machoke.
Okay.
And the name is Kid Muscle.
Okay.
Named after the main character, I think.
Yeah.
From
Ultimate Muscle.
From Ultimate Muscle.
A.K.A. Kinnikuman. I feel like that's the name of the anime. I'm not 100% sure. It's a wrestling anime, so I watched the crap out of it. There's a character named Dick Dick. Named after the tiny little antelope character.
This is a PG podcast.
It's an antelope. It's like a deer. A Dick Dick is like a little deer.
Stop saying it.
Adam Sessler.
You're going to get us kicked off the thing because you're...
No, it's D-I-K-D-I-K. It's Adam Sessler had a shirt on the old episodes of X-Play that was just like a little deer and said Dick Dick under it. But he's like a big jack dude in like a deer suit.
Okay.
Anyway.
I did not watch... I am familiar... With Ultimate Muscle, like, I know of it.
Hey, you know professional wrestler, not personally, but you know professional wrestler Samoa Joe?
Yes.
You know his finisher, the Muscle Buster?
Yep.
It comes from this show.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Kid Muscle's finisher is the Muscle Buster.
In Fire Pro Wrestling Returns, and probably ones prior to that,
okay,
there is a move. It's a Muscle Buster.
Yeah.
But the impact of the move, he gets him up on his shoulder.
Instead of falling backwards, he falls straight down.
He leaps off the screen.
That's from Ultimate Muscle.
And then falls back down. Yeah. That's from Ultimate Muscle.
And he lands sitting, like breaking their neck, right?
And he lands in like a kneeling position.
But he's still like, they are straight up. It's not like a Muscle Buster where you land like flat.
No, yeah.
Yeah. That's from Ultimate Muscle. It's crazy because he like jumps like 1,000 feet in the air.
You're telling me I could make Kid Muscle?
In Fire Pro Wrestling, yes.
In my Fire Pro Wrestling?
Yeah. He looks goofy.
I looked him up because I was like, all right, I need to see what he looks like at least.
Yeah, he looks a little goofy.
He's a little goofy looking.
But I'm going to give this an Ultra Ball because I really liked that anime. And also, if you put like little or kid in front of anything, I am more apt to enjoy that name. Or son of.
Or put boy at the end of it.
Yes, or boy.
If he was Muscle Boy, said you. I might name my joke Muscle Boy.
I'm probably going to name mine Phil this time if I get one.
I have a Machamp named Crazy Phil.
Crazy Phil.
Kid Muscle, I'll give an Ultra Ball to. I'm not as familiar with Ultimate Muscle as I want to be.
But he did invent the Muscle Buster. Right. Can you imagine?
And he's real jacked. And like buff, yeah. Like Machoke is. I think it's a good name.
Imagine him doing a Muscle Buster though? That'd be great.
Yeah.
Machoke, use Muscle Buster. I would teach my Machokes wrestling moves.
Actual wrestling moves.
I'd like, hit him with a German suplex.
Your Machoke would be an arm drag king. You would not expect it from such a bulky dude, but he would be arm dragging.
Oh yeah,
fools.
Arm dragging all over the place. Four at once. Wait, no, that's Machamp. Two at once, just like super strong ones. Right. Then when he evolved, four at once.
Machoke. Hit him with a spear. It'd be like, I saw that Pokemon move. Oh no, my primate is dead. You jackhammer that Dragonite Machoke. Bill Machoke. All right, so that's a double Ultra
Now
ball
I'm going to name
us.
Him Goldberg instead.
The next one is Skies. It's at Sandwich Surplus on Twitter.
Okay.
It's first Superior, and the nickname is Goblin King because he looks like David Bowie if David Bowie was a snake.
I like that. Superior is, the armless.
Yep. It evolves from a little snake-like guy with arms and legs into a snake with no appendages.
Right. Evolution style.
It's definitely very kingly. It has, like, a very big kind of collar and kind of...
Does
like
it have a mullet?
It does not have a mullet.
Does it play with that crystal ball?
Well, no,
that
it doesn't.
It, can, like,
it doesn't have any
But,
hands.
Like, on his tail, maybe?
I mean, I'm sure it could. Let me look up a picture of Superior real quick and see if he has, like, unnecessary orbs on his tail.
If he does, Master Ball. That's all I'm saying.
There are no orbs. If you want to have a quick visual reference.
I do, because I know what Jared looks like. I can kind of see it. I'm going to go with Ultra Ball again.
Okay.
I don't know what this last one is. I might not use my Master Ball today, guys.
I'll give this one a great ball. It's pretty good. I like the idea of it. He does look like David Bowie as a snake, but I don't know if he looks like the...
You
Goblin
know what? Yeah.
King
now
David
now
Bowie.
That you mention it, I think you're right. I think he looks like David Bowie, but not necessarily Jared.
I would name mine Ziggy.
It does have a thing on his face that kind of looks like the Ziggy Stardust Lightning Bolt or the Aladdin Sane Lightning Bolt, I think. I don't remember. I don't know a lot about David Bowie's discography. Yeah, I guess I'm going to drop the Great Ball.
All right.
It's cool. Like, it definitely is David Bowie. If it had like a orb on its tail, Master Ball, because then, obviously, that's the Goblin King.
All right, and last but not least, from at Trainer Zangar on Twitter, is a Miltank named Bovine, Bauxvine.
Okay.
For whatever reason, maybe I'm not reading into it enough or I just don't get it, but he had to tell us that the ability is Sap Sipper.
Do you know what that ability is off the top of your head?
Sap Sipper recovers health when you're hit with grass move. Here's the thing. I give this one a premiere ball because the pun is funny.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go there too.
I looked up bow.
It's like beautiful.
I thought it was beautiful.
Or it's what you call like your boyfriend.
Boyfriend?
Yeah.
Miltanks can only be female.
Yeah. I think I'm going to go premiere ball too because like maybe I'm not getting it.
I think there's something in the ability that I'm not
getting. Because cows are grass-fed. Like, grass-fed cows are...
Right.
Are more... Like, they're better for the environment. Okay. That's all I really know. I don't see how... I don't get the whole picture. I get the parts of it. I just don't get the whole picture.
I like the pun. Like, believe me, I like the pun.
Yes. Right? I can confirm. He likes the pun.
the two problems I have are A, it's for a boy, and B, right. with an X, that's the plural. That's multiple bow.
Right.
So yeah. I want to love it, but I just can't right. give it more than a premiere ball.
I can see it on your face that you want to love it. I do like the name for a cow Pokemon. It's just because it's only a girl and bow means boyfriend. Right. But like,
it's a good name for a Tauros.
Yes.
Who is the male equivalent.
Yeah. Who they should just like figure out a way to put the two together. Figure out some algorithm somewhere down the line when they finally restructure the Pokedex. When they finally give in.
They never will.
I feel like they might. I feel like when they finally think they need to like quote unquote reboot or like figure out a way. I mean, I don't think it's going to be for another like 4 generations, but it's going to happen eventually.
Right.
Is that it? Is that all we got?
Yeah, that's it for the nicknames, unless you found any.
No, Sky's got one that I really like that we'll talk about at a later date.
Okay.
Maybe we'll throw that into next week's pool.
Yeah, we could do that.
All right. That's it. Are we doing Q&A?
We're not doing a Q&A, but we still have a Pokemon spotlight we got to go through.
Who's that Pokemon?
It's Clefairy! All right.
You guys are shocked, I'm sure, that the Mount Moon Spotlight Pokemon that we did not do a poll for is Clefairy.
What a mystery. What a great mystery we wrapped it up for you.
All right, so Clefairy is National Pokedex number 35.
Okay.
It is categorized as the fairy Pokemon.
Hmm.
Let me pose a question to you.
Okay.
What type do you think a Clefairy is?
Well, I think it might be a fairy type now.
It is now.
It used to be a normal type.
It used
though.
To be a normal type.
Normal used to just be like catch-all.
Normal was like it doesn't fit into the other types.
Yeah. Also, there's only one flying type Pokemon. One Pokemon that is just flying type.
Yep. Every other flying type is part something else.
Yeah. A lot of them are normal.
Like, every bird is flying and normal. Well, not every bird.
A lot of them. That's weird, though, right?
Yep.
I don't know.
Bird was a type. Like, early on, there was just a bird type.
Yeah. It's still a glitch type. Like, if you type in bird type into Bulbapedia,
if you catch
it will
a missing
up.
No, one of its attacks, I think. No, missing no itself is
bird type. Weird.
And it knows some flying move. Aerial Ace. That didn't exist yet. Razor Wind or something, maybe? I don't remember.
Yeah.
But it knows one flying move and 2 water guns.
That's weird, man.
anyway, this isn't about missing, though. This is about the fairy Pokemon, Clefairy, who is a fairy type now, but was a normal type.
Was a normal type before Gen 6, because fairies did not exist before
they
then.
They're little. I don't think the anime properly portrayed the size that
No, they
Clefairy
were about
the,
they were the height of Pikachu. They were like, you know, foot and a half.
Okay, because Clefairy is 2 feet tall and weighs about 16.5 pounds.
Yeah, maybe that might be about right from the anime.
Maybe. Maybe Ash is about, what, 4 feet, maybe?
He's 10, right? So, like, yeah.
All right, I guess that track. They look bigger, I guess, than
they actually,
you would think.
I think they might look smaller.
No?
I don't know. It's hard to judge because they're all moving around the screen. Like, the Clefairies are never sitting still unless it's only next to Pikachu, and I also don't know how tall Pikachu is.
Right.
It's kind of weird, but that's a little. That's, like, you know, knee-high, just over knee-high.
See, I think 2 feet, and I'm like, oh, it's, like, this little guy. From the couch to my hand. I mean, you guys can't see
any
of this.
No, I think that's over 2 feet.
Is that over 2 feet? Yeah. So they're, like, this little? About, no, that's only, like, a foot.
That's a foot.
That's a foot. Yeah. So, like this. All right. No, I guess that is pretty big. Okay.
Yeah.
Now that we figured that out on an audio podcast, I mean, it evolves into
great
radio. Fable.
What? How? How and when?
With
what level?
With a moonstone.
No level?
At,
what?
At any level. But here's the trick to stone evolutions.
You gotta wait.
You don't have to. I mean, you can evolve it right away if you want, but it's not gonna learn any cool moves.
Right.
Clefairy learns its last move at level 58.
Wow.
Yeah, and I can't remember what they are. You can look them up and decide.
One of them is Metronome. That's its signature move.
Clefable just has Metronome.
Like when it evolves, it immediately learns.
It doesn't learn it, but like it has it by default. So in the future games with the move relearner, you can just reteach it Metronome.
Okay.
But Clefable does not just learn anything at any level. It has a few moves that are like its basic moves that it just has. That's it. You can use TMs and stuff to teach it some moves. But if you want any of those sweet level up moves, you've got to wait it out with Clefairy.
Yep.
Also, I didn't write this down, but Clefairy evolves from a Cleffa, which is the baby version that was introduced in the second generation.
Yeah.
And those baby versions are weird, so I have to look this up. Some of them are like, you need to have it happy. Other ones are like, it's just level 20.
Yeah. The baby versions, because there's a couple things that got baby versions. They're very adorable. They look very vulnerable.
Yeah, definitely.
And I think Cleffa's got like two, like its ears are little horn looking things, right? Am I thinking of the right thing? I think I am.
Yeah, you are. It's like if you took a Clefairy and made it smaller.
Sure.
You take away its wings.
Right.
Kind of squish it down, because Clefairy is kind of a shape.
Yeah.
It's vaguely a star shape, but it's not really a star shape. Squish it down to an actual star shape, and then it's just a tiny little Cleffa. It evolves via high friendship, so if you get its friendship level high enough, it evolves into a Clefairy.
Okay, how do you do that?
Just use it in battle. There's an item you can make it hold that'll raise its friendship. Keeping it healthy, using like rare candies and pumping it full of drugs, make them happy.
Okay, doesn't seem so bad, so hard to do.
No, usually by level 20, if you're just using it
regularly.
Even if it's just holding like the experience share.
Yeah.
Usually by level 20 to 25, you can evolve them via happiness pretty easily.
Okay.
The abilities that a Clefairy can have are Cute Charm, which will infatuate an opponent of the opposite gender.
Okay.
It's not like foolproof.
Right.
But there's a chance that if they do a physical contact move, if they like tackle you or whatever.
Right.
That they will become infatuated.
They'll fall in love.
They will fall in love.
They want to kiss
you're adorable. Clefairy. Or Magic Guard, which prevents indirect damage.
Okay.
Which means like damage from hail, sandstorm, leech seed. That's not the Pokemon attacking.
Okay, like the
but like a passive move that does damage.
Yeah, yeah.
Prevents damage from that.
Okay.
And for its hidden ability, it gets Friend Guard, and I actually don't know what Clefable has from its hidden ability because it does not keep Friend Guard. But Friend Guard reduces in multi-battle, like double and triple battles.
Yeah.
It reduces your ally's damage that it takes by 25%.
Just in every time?
Yeah.
That's good for tag teams, man.
It is. The downside is that it's just Clefairy. It's not a full evolved Pokemon
You gotta be fighting babies.
Right.
That's a good ability. If only it was like on a stronger Pokemon that made it worth it later on.
Yeah. All right, so I had to look it up because it was bothering me that I didn't know. The hidden ability turns into unaware when you evolve it. And what that does is ignores stat changes in the opposite Pokemon. So if they raise their attack or the defense or anything, Clefable is unaware of that and it doesn't come into account.
Okay.
It's weird. It's a weird ability.
Yeah, I mean, I could see it being useful.
It's useful, but like
very specifically.
Right.
Again, like kind of like that Magic Guard.
Yeah.
Like, useful, but only sometimes.
Well, there was a while in Generation 5 where, like, Sandstorm and Hail teams were just running everything.
Yeah.
Like, those were the teams to make, because that's what everyone was using.
Then they nerfed it for Gen 6,
and then they nerfed it,
because
now weather doesn't last past 5 turns.
Right.
There used to be, like, if you had the ability that activated weather,
that
would just
be weather.
That weather until another weather effect happened.
That's crazy. So what about this fairies, this little fairy Pokemon stats. What's it like?
It's very special. It's a magical Pokemon.
Right.
So its special stats are higher, but its HP is its highest stat.
Okay. I can see that. Cause it is like, it does look kind of like robust.
He does
like
look bulky.
It could take a tumble.
Yeah. But he has a lot of magical properties too, which we're going to talk about in his Pokedex entries.
Okay.
And I mean his in the gender neutral sense.
Right.
So the Pokedex makes a pretty strong point that this is a hard to find but highly sought after Pokemon.
Okay.
Clefairy is the amiibos of the Pokemon universe.
This is the little Mac amiibo.
So yeah, they're super cute. Everybody wants one. They're very hard to find. They come out more during a full moon.
Okay.
But they're still not common by any stretch.
Right. As example, evidenced by the fact that you did not see a single one.
Right.
On your recent trip through Mount Moon.
Not a one. Here's a little weird tidbit about Clefairy. It stores moonlight in its wings.
Okay.
To magically float above the ground.
Okay, you keep saying it has wings, right? I don't think I've ever noticed it having wings before.
It's got these tiny little baby wings sticking out of its back that apparently it stores moonlight in, so it
That's
can
weird.
Float. So this is the first very weird Pokemon.
Yeah.
That we've come across in the spotlight and also in the game.
Yeah.
Like, they get weird, and this is the first, like, hey, guys, This is a fantasy universe.
Right. Despite there being the Macarena.
And the moon landing.
Yeah. I don't know about that stuff, man. we're going to have a whole episode on that at some point later down the line.
They are very social creatures. They sleep nestled up together in groups in quiet mountains.
I like that. That is adorable.
And it is said that there's like an urban legend, not an urban legend, but like folklore around Clefairy, that if you see them dancing during a gathering under a full moon, that it'll bring you great happiness.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. And who, won't you know it, your boy Gold, just, you know, stumbling into Malmoon Square on a Monday night, just happens to see some.
Yeah, man.
Clefairy is doing a dance, and oh, whoops, suddenly he's the strongest trainer that there's ever been.
Oops, best in the world. Gold is my favorite.
All right, so here's where my Team Rocket fossil misdirect theory comes into play.
Okay, hit me.
The locations that Clefairy is available.
Okay.
In red, blue, and yellow. It's in Mount Moon.
Yep.
Very rare.
Sure.
You can buy one in the game corner for 500 coins.
Scandal.
So they are like, all right, let's go to Mount Moon. Let's say we're there for the fossils. And while everyone is trying to protect the fossils,
jaunt up to the top.
Grab the Clefairies. Get all the Clefairies.
Get all.
So we can sell them at the game corner.
That nerd is just there to distract you. To be like,
yep.
Oh, they're stealing my fossils. And then you battle him.
That nerd is Seymour, isn't he?
Oh, for sure.
He's got to be.
He's the only person in the...
He had a name. I'll have to look it up for next time. Because they named them in the later game. Like, in the first one, he's just Super Nerd, wants to battle.
Yeah.
But in this one, it's Super Nerd...
Seymour.
Name. Seymour wants to battle. In Generation 2, you can get them on Routes 3 and 4 at night.
Yep.
In Generation 4, because they are not in the original Ruby and Sapphire.
Yeah, nothing is besides Gen 3 Pokemon, right?
In Fire Red and Leaf Green, they're in Mount Moon in the game corner again.
Right.
There are other generation Pokemon available, but there's only like some of them.
Okay.
And you can't get the rest until Fire Red and Leaf Green come out. The Hoenn Pokedex is a mixture of new and old.
Right.
It's mostly new. So Generation 4, they're in Mount Coronet, or you can get them in HeartGold and SoulSilver in the Johto Safari Zone. Mount Coronet, of course, is in Sinnoh. It's the giant mountain that splits the map down the middle.
I haven't. Is that Gen 4, you said?
Yep.
I haven't played either of those games. I don't know what the map looks like.
There's a giant mountain that's like, there's a lot of folklore of the region about it, and it splits the map in half.
Okay.
They're in there.
Cool.
I don't know where, but they're in there.
Somewhere. Who knows?
In Generation 5, they're in the giant chasm, which is where you can encounter Kyurem. I'm going to say Kyurem.
I've been saying Kyurem, but what do I know? I didn't play those games either.
And you can get Clefairies in the grass around there, because that's like a weird crater, too.
Right.
So that's also like a moon thing. I like that the moon theme sticks.
That is
Clefairy,
cool, yeah.
Because the theory is that Clefairy came from the moon.
Right.
They rode a moonstone to Earth, and now they're in like various select places here.
Right.
And then in Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire in Generation 6, you can get them on Route 115, which I think that's the one that's outside of Meteor Falls, or you can get them in Meteor Falls in the little dust clouds.
Okay.
Very rare.
Yeah.
In dust clouds. And those are all the places that you can find Clefairy in the world so far, the discovered world of Pokemon.
Cool. That Game Corner thing. I think you're onto something there.
Oh yeah.
I think we cracked the secret 20 years later.
I think so, cuz they're like, "Oh, we want the fossils and the money," but like
then
they're getting the money from Clefairy, cuz you got to buy it with coins, and to get 500 coins, you got to spend like a million Pokebucks.
A lot of money at the game. Yeah. So that
you can gamble it all away, or you can just buy the coins outright like I did. Just sit there for 20 minutes smashing the A button.
Right.
Buy all the coins after you grind the Elite Four for an hour. Get that Porygon.
Get swag.exe. Gosh dang it anyway. any trivia? Anything like that?
There's a couple. It shares the fairy category with Snubbull and Gramble.
I mean, there's a lot more fairies than that. What do you mean to share? Like
the Pokedex category of fairy Pokemon.
Oh, right.
It shares with Snubbull and
okay,
Gramble.
Okay, I forgot about those already. Yeah, that's weird, because those are dogs.
They're dogs. Snubbull is definitely more than just a dog. He's a weird thing.
He's got like a skirt.
He's got like a Pokedex skirt on. He's bright pink. He's got a giant head. Gen 2 has some weird Pokemon. One of them is just a sentient sunflower.
It's weird.
But then one of them is Houndoom, so...
Right.
I mean...
Give or take, yeah.
Check and balance.
Also, Those are later. They become fairy Pokemon or half fairy type, right?
Yes.
Or are they all fairy?
They are all fairy.
It's weird that they're called the fairy type Pokemon or the fairy Pokemon that early in the game because they're literally just one's a weird dog, one's a less weird dog.
Yeah, one's more of just like a pit bull.
Yeah, that's weird.
Or more of a bulldog. A bulldog. It's not really a pit bull. I don't know. There must be something in the origin of Snubbull that, like, I just don't know about. Some folklore or something.
Right.
About some creature that is a dog fairy.
Something. I don't know. Eventually,
we'll talk about Snubbull sometime.
We'll talk about Snubbull.
Clefairy was originally planned to be the mascot of Pokemon.
I did know that, and yep. I think that would be a good idea. If I'm not getting an Eevee, I would have liked to have Clefairy because it's weird and...
Very weird.
Its signature attack is Metronome. Lots of stuff could happen there.
Literally anything could happen. Literally anything could happen with Metronome.
That could have been a lot. There could have been a lot of cool stuff with Ash being like Metronome, and like it's Hyper Beam or Metronome and it's Fly or Metronome and it, you know, like just weird stuff.
Yeah, it was definitely intended to be his starter, and then they changed to Pikachu at the last second
based on a poll. Right?
I've heard of the poll, but I've never seen any data about this poll. I've only heard about it through hearsay. Like,
yeah.
I've never seen any hard facts that prove this poll existed.
That's true. Neither have I.
So, I mean, if you have a link to, not to the poll, but to, obviously, like, the results or whatever.
Probably on a magazine.
share that with us. I'd like to see it. I'd like to confirm that this poll actually existed. Because as of right now, I don't believe it did. I just think they were like, it's going to be Clefairy. And someone's like, what about Pikachu? And they were like, yeah, let's try it.
Yeah.
Then Pikachu took off like a rocket after the anime.
Yeah,
and
so I mean,
they never looked back.
Yeah, who's to say like, a mistake was made there?
We could be getting sweet plushies of Clefairies in Charizard costumes and Gengar costumes, but instead we got Pikachu.
We could have been getting Clefairy butts instead of Pikachu butts.
I don't even think Clefairy butt is an option, and that is just not right.
Another reason Clefairy would have been a great starter is that it could have been like special. And that it could control its Metronome.
Yeah.
So, like, it could just have whatever move Ash needed, then, like, that's why Team Rocket would want it.
Right, and that's why Ash can win all the time.
Yeah.
It's because he's fighting Brock with a Clefairy. He's like, oh, Hydro Pump it.
Yeah. Instead of being like, just shock it more, I guess.
Just shock everything just until you kill it.
Shock everything forever.
And then the last little bit. I think ties directly in with Clefairy being the original planned mascot, and that the Poke Doll item is just a doll of Clefairy.
It makes sense.
If you use the Poke Doll in battle, it distracts the wild Pokemon so you can run away.
Okay.
Because the way the run...
Do you lose it?
Yep. You put it down and you grab your Pokemon and you just run. Because the way the run mechanic works is if your speed is lower than the wild Pokemon that you're fighting, there's a chance that it'll fail.
Right.
And that, I think, increases exponentially as their speed is higher than yours.
Right.
But
there's
if you use a Poke Doll, it's an instant runaway.
Okay, that's pretty cool. Yeah, that would make sense to have the one item that is a representation of a Pokemon be the planned mascot.
Yeah.
Because nowadays, it would be a Pikachu. You know, like if they knew, you know, probably, if I had to guess, like if they knew that was what the mascot was going to be.
Right.
It would have been a Pikachu doll, you know?
Yep.
Huh.
It should have been an Eevee doll. I don't want to get into that, though. Guys, that's going to wrap up the Pokemon Spotlight segment. Hope you guys learned something fun about Clefairy.
I learned some fun stuff about Clefairy.
I like Clefairy.
I do, too.
I might catch one. I might train one.
That's what I came away with today, earlier when I was watching the anime. I was like, this is a weird Pokemon.
It's so weird. Such a weird thing.
Yeah. I want to hang out with it. I want to see what it's all about. So that's going to do it for us for today. Normally we would do a Q&A segment. Normally we have news. We're cutting both of those out.
Yeah, there's a little bit of news, but like all the news recently has just been like
toys.
New merchandise.
Yeah.
And like there is a tournament, I think. Oh, when you're hearing this, you can register for the Spooky Cup now that we talked about last time.
Oh, cool. I would like to say thank you to the two people who sent us emails, Danielle and Hoops. We will talk about them next time. When we have a proper Q&A segment. Also, in the future, like I said, these quote-unquote smaller episodes are going to be regular episodes, and we're going to split them up over 2 weeks. We're not going to do the other weeks. That was a very ambitious thought that I had. And
we tried it.
And it just kind of like...
Everything else fell apart around it.
Yeah, so, I mean, you got this on time. We recorded it on time. Everything's fine with it, but like our headspace was just all messed up.
Yeah, there's a lot of stressful stuff happening on the back end over here.
Yeah,
which is fine. So, it was worth a shot.
So yeah, we tried it. We didn't like it. We're going to go back to just every other week. I think that's for the best.
Hey guys, this is Jake from the future during editing. It's not made clear in the episode, but we are going to be skipping next week. So the next episode, Cerulean City, will be in 2 weeks from this episode. I'm really sorry about it. It's just I don't have time to edit. We don't have time to record, really. So it would just kind of mess everything up if we tried to squeeze it out in a week. It would be bad, and we don't want it to be bad. We want it to be good, and we want you to enjoy it. So that's what's going on. Now back to past us.
Also, if you want to contact us, super easy to do that. Just type in PWT Podcast into whatever
your preferred social media, Tumblr, Twitter, or Facebook. We're on all three.
Yeah, you can email us, pwtpodcast@gmail.com. We're super easy to find via PWT.
Yeah, I haven't Googled it yet, but I'm sure if you Google PWT Podcast, all our stuff will probably just pop up.
Probably.
And as always, check us out on the iTunes store. Go leave us a rating and review. We'll love it. We'll love you. We'll give you a shout out on the air.
Yeah, it's super, super fun. We're waiting until we have 5. So
then we will start reading them on the air.
Also, I want to say that our theme music is Destiny Infinite off the EVEP, the OC Remix album, the EVEP, which you can find at ev.ocremix.com. It's by Dark Sword, DarkeSword.
And all the other music in the podcast is from the Pokemon Heart Gold and Soul Silver Super Music Collection.
Yes.
I feel like I call something different every time.
It's a Super Music Collection.
It's available on the iTunes store for $9.99.
While you're buying that, hop over, leave us a review. You're already there.
Yeah.
Super easy. Or conversely, leaving us a review, go over and grab that album. It's 270 tracks long.
For $10.
For $10. That's the best deal. I don't know if you know it. Real good deal.
Use your free WWE Network month if you just signed up. Use your free month and buy this disc.
Yeah.
Not this disc, this album. It's more than one disc. It's 270 songs.
Yeah, that's a lot. So thank you very much for listening. I've been your host, Jake.
And I'm your guy, Josh.
Smell you later.